Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Grantharaj Shima Bhagavatam ki,
Giriraj Maharaj ki, Go Prem.
Okay. So tonight we'll do the overview of chapters 47 to 55 in preparation for your exam, which will be next Tuesday, starting at 7 o'clock here in the theater. Okay. So I'll go through the chapters. We have to cover 9 chapters. 1, 2, 3. And we'll do an overview. And if you have anything you'd like to add as we go, then you can also add that as you go. So everyone please concentrate as we go through this section. So, what is chapter 47 called? The Song of the Bumblebee. The Brahmara Gita. This is considered to be one of the deepest parts of the entire 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because in this particular chapter, Srimati Radharani herself has a conversation with a bumblebee, and the bumblebee is actually Krishna himself. So it's considered to be one of the most esoteric, one of the deepest parts of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. It cannot be understood by conditioned souls. Even ourselves, we are sadhikas, we cannot fully understand the emotions and the bhava, the feelings which are being experienced in that chapter. But we study it with awe and reverence and with respect and with sincerity, and we try to understand whatever we can from that section. So at this point in time, Krishna has left Vrindavan physically. He's entered into Aprakat Lila. So it doesn't mean he is physically present in Vrindavan anymore. So what we're hearing about here is called Vipralamba Seva. Vipralamba means the mood of separation. Now when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this earth, and he was Krishna himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. He is Krishna. But he is in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So when he comes to this earth to experience, he comes to experience Vipralamba Seva, which means the mood of separation from Krishna. And he very much absorbed himself in the moods which were exhibited in this chapter by Srimati Radharani. And only Srimati Radharani, the most exalted and the most confidential gopis, manjaris, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Madhavendra Puri, only these most exalted personalities can understand the moods which take place in this chapter. It is so exalted. So what we're hearing about here is called Maha Bhava. Maha Bhava means the highest level of prema. Prema means love for Krishna. But prema has various divisions. And Maha Bhava is the most exalted division. So this is the highest display of love of God, which can be found or understood or experienced. So this cannot be understood by any conditioned soul. It can't even be understood by pure devotees who are outside of Vrindavan. And even within Vrindavan, it cannot be understood by everyone within Vrindavan. Only Srimati Radharani and her most confidential associates can understand this. So we see in the beginning of the chapter Uddhava is sent by Krishna to Vrindavan. So the previous chapter describes how Krishna asks him to go to Vrindavan. Now why is Uddhava asked to go to Vrindavan? No? To deliver a message to the gopis, but also for his own education. Krishna is fulfilling many purposes just by this one activity. So he goes to Vrindavan, And he becomes educated as to the higher levels of love of Godhead, even beyond what he himself can understand and experience. So when he goes to Vrindavan, he gives a letter. He reads a letter which is written by Krishna himself to the gopis. So when they see him, when the gopis see him enter, the gopis are the most chaste girls in creation. They will not associate with any man except for Krishna. Just like I'll explain to you in the next few weeks, months, like that, as Krishna collects his different queens, we see that Satyabhama, she hasn't appeared yet in the Bhagavatam. We'll hear about her appearance soon, how Krishna marries Satyabhama. But Satyabhama, being Srimati Radharani herself, an expanded form of Radharani, Srimati Radharani, when she enters into the Dwarka pastimes, she doesn't want to have, she says to Rukmini, we'll explain this to you, that she says to Rukmini, I don't want to associate with any man. Yeah? That is the mood of the gopis. They don't want to associate with any man except for
Krishna.
So that is the mood of the gopis. They are the highest level of love of Godhead. That's why the most exalted place, Rupa Goswami says, the most exalted place for Radha and Krishna to perform their pastimes is Radhakund. So in Radhakund, only Krishna can enter. He's the only male. Everyone else there is a gopi and a manjari. On the other side, on Shamakund, then Krishna's Dwadasha Gopals, some of the intimate cowherd boys, can be a part of the pastimes of Shamakund, but they cannot come across to Radhakund. Radhakund is where the most exalted pastimes take place. So this chastity is there, but when they saw Uddhava entering, they became very attracted to him, and for a moment they thought it may have been Krishna. So they became very attracted, because Uddhava is also the same color as Krishna. The word Uddhava literally means like a festival, like a moving festival. So he looks like Krishna, he wears Krishna's remnants. He has a similar disposition to Krishna. So in many ways they were reminded of Krishna. They even thought he may have been Krishna. So they became very bold, because they understood he was a messenger from Krishna. Normally they're very chaste, they would not associate with another man, but understanding he was Krishna's messenger and he was delivering a letter directly from Krishna himself, and they could perceive when an advanced devotee meets another advanced devotee. You read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, just like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy met, then you see they could recognize each other. When one advanced devotee meets another advanced devotee, he can perceive his level of Krishna consciousness or his attraction for Krishna. So Uddhava, when he came, they could understand. He understands much about Krishna. Krishna speaks very confidentially to him. Krishna normally would not speak about the gopis when he's in Mathura and Dwarka. But with Uddhava, he would speak and he would reveal confidential thoughts about his attachment to the gopis. So when he came, they became very bold. They changed their mood. And they approached Uddhava. Their mood is that, why is Krishna in Mathura? When Srimati Radharani speaks the Brahmari Gita, her mood is somewhat in the mood of Man. Man means the jealous anger. She's in the mood of Man. So she thinks, why is Krishna in Mathura? Krishna will be much happier if he is with us in Vrindavan. So she becomes angry with Krishna, not for herself, Because we see in this world, we become angry if our wife won't talk to us or our husband won't talk to us or, you know, something. But the gopis think, they become angry because they think, why is he wasting his time in Mathura? He could be much more satisfied by living here with us in Vrindavan. Because we will serve him selflessly. So that is their mood. but as they speak, they say that the reason he's gone to Mathura is because he wants to please his parents. Vasudevan Deviki. In Vedic culture, pleasing the superiors is an integral part of the culture. And even when you read in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, you read there are 25 qualities of Srimati Radharani. Right? And those 25 qualities, one is that she's always respectful to her superiors. That is Vedic culture. That is being lost around the world now. I was having this discussion the other day, like, you know, the way our kids speak to us, you know, like the way my daughter speaks to me and your kids speak to you, and, you know, looking around the room, thinking about all your kids and how they speak to you. It's not the way that we would have spoken to our parents. And it's definitely not the way our parents would have spoken to their parents. Yeah? So the culture is being lost. Just the way Kali Yuga is. But in the Vedic culture, respect for the superiors was considered an integral part of the culture. So the gopis, they could understand Krishna's obligation. That's why he's in Mathura. That's why he stayed in Mathura. So they understand it, but it gives them great pain simultaneously. So there is no love superior to the love of the gopis in Vrindavan. And we'll see, as we study this portion that we're in now, we'll see that those gopis have, according to Rupa Goswami in the Lita Madhava, they have appeared as the queens. Rukmini is Chandravali, Satchabhama is Radharani. You know, the expansions, it's very technical. We'll go through it more. But Krishna's entire existence is based on his association with Srimati Radharani and the principal gopis. He doesn't get any association which gives him as much satisfaction. In fact, Jiva Goswami says, if Krishna only had Srimati Radharani, he would be completely satisfied. Now, that shows her exalted position. So he's the only person who can fully satisfy Krishna. And if every one of us and everyone else in creation did not exist, Krishna would still be completely happy. That's how potent and powerful she is. But because she desires to share Krishna, all of us manifest. And that's why we exist, to serve. So, let me check my notes, because I've written very small. I have to get glasses, actually. I can't remember. So then the Brahmara Gita begins. The Brahmara Gita, it is a type of talk or speech, and it is a mood which is called Divyon Mad. Divyon Mad literally means divine madness. Radharani is speaking like a mad person who speaks to a bumblebee. Now, generally, we don't speak to a bumblebee. I mean, having a deep conversation. You know, we speak to animals and things, but not on this level. But she's speaking to the bee. So it's called Divyon Mad, it's divine madness. And she speaks different types of Jalpa. Jalpa means speeches. So there's different. There's Prajalpa, Pratijalpa, Vijalpa, all these different, eight different types which he speaks. Eight different types of divine madness. And if you go through the verses of the Brahmara Gita, verses 12 to 20 of this chapter, chapter 47, then you'll see that she passes through the eight types of divine mad speech. They're so exalted that we will not go into them in great detail because I have no qualification to speak about it and understand it. But we went over it to the best of our ability and we studied this section. So, the basic conception from Srimati Radharani's talks is mentioned by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in the Madhurya Kalambini. The Bhagavatam says the reason we're in this material world is because we have the consciousness of Aham Mameti, I and mine. This consciousness needs to be transferred to spiritual Aham Mameti. In other words, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says we need to become spiritually absorbed in the identity of Aham. Aham means I am Krishna's servant. The gopis are thinking about Krishna on the highest level. Right? I am Krishna's lover. Right? It is conjugal ras, madhurya ras. It's the highest level of identification. So that's what they're absorbed in. And then mameti. Mameti means Krishna is mine. You'll see that there are left-wing gopis and right-wing gopis. The right-wing gopis are headed by Chandravali, and their mood is submissive to Krishna. But the Brahmaragidra is spoken by the left-wing, the leader of the left-wing gopis. So she is speaking in an unsubmissive mood. She's not submissive to Krishna. She's unsubmissive to Krishna. No. So the way she is speaking to Krishna, to the bumblebee, is in the mood of Krishna, you belong to us. Specifically, you belong to me. That is Radharani's mood. So she's speaking. So it's the highest level of divine consciousness, Divyonmad. So she wants Krishna to come back to Vrindavan so that she can serve him and please him to the greatest degree. So their position is so exalted and so unique that Uddhava is witnessing all this. And Uddhava realizes he feels like I have no love for Krishna. So much so that he prays that I want to become a kundalata. Just a creeper which grows next to the kunda. You know when we do Govardhan Parikram? And then as we're heading up towards Radhakund on the back side, the western side of Govardhan, then we go past Uddhava Kund. You remember? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you go past, this is the place, Uddhava Kund. Have you been there? You've been there? Okay. So you go past Uddhava Kund, and the backside of Kusuma Sarovara. This is where Uddhava actually resides as a kundalata, as a creeper. And he desires that the gopis and Srimati Radharani, they step on him so that he can get the dust of the gopis upon his head. So the unique position of, and in one sense, this is one of the principal purposes of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam exalts the position of the Braja gopis, the residents of Vrindavan, in particular the gopis, and in particular Srimati Radharani. That is one of the prime purposes why the Bhagavatam is spoken. So we will understand Radharani's exalted position. So when you study this chapter, you will understand that, if you study it properly. So, it is pointed out that they paved the way for Raga Anuga Bhakti. What is Raga Anuga Bhakti? Spontaneous. Specifically it means to follow in the footsteps of the devotees who have rag, or spontaneous attachment to Krishna. So for us, that means those who are followers of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya himself and his followers were in this mood, following the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan. So they're teaching us Raganuga Bhakti. They are the Ragatmika devotees who we're meant to follow and to understand and perceive their moods and practice in devotional service in the mood of the Braja Gopis. So, in order to understand their exalted position, we need to become free from the bodily concept of life. First thing that Krishna teaches in the Bhagavad Gita, Asochanam Vasochastvam. He says, you are not the body. First thing that Krishna explains. And what did Prabhupada emphasize all the way through his teachings? You are not the body. So from the beginning, the Bhagavad Gita, to the highest levels of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is what we're studying right now, this is the same message which is being given. We must give up identification with the body. If you do not, you cannot understand these pastimes. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam. You have to become nirmala. Nirmala means pure, free from fault. Then you can understand Krishna's pastimes. So because of their vipralamba, which they experience in this pastime, it increases their prema. So that's why Radharani, she goes to the highest levels of love, because she is experiencing the deepest separation from Krishna. And when you are separated from someone who you love, then you feel intense feelings of separation. So Radharani is in the most intense moods, being separated from Krishna. So then in the final verse of the Brahmari Gita, she adopts the mood of Dainya. Dainya means
humility.
She becomes very humble. It's also a symptom of prema. When you're very, 1 minute she is chastising Krishna in a very angry mood, but then in a moment, next verse, she becomes absorbed in Dainya or humility. Because the bumblebee goes away. And when she can't see it anymore, she becomes overcome with humility, and then bumblebee comes back again. So then, it describes that Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says, after the instructions or the letter which Krishna wrote to the gopis is read by Uddhava. It's not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, but then there was more that Krishna wrote. And then Uddhava read this section to the Braja gopis, and when they heard it, they actually united with Krishna in their consciousness. And it is said that Krishna actually manifested there, personally came, he transported himself there. And then Krishna associated with them, and they entered into a rasa lila. And then they performed rasa lila for 1,000 years. And they were so, and externally, they appeared to be just stunned. But internally, and it only maybe some moments or minutes or hours passed, but internally, Krishna united with them, and they danced for 1,000 years with him. So then when Krishna left again, and then he satisfied them, and he went back to Mathura. Then when they came back to an external consciousness, they were completely pacified and blissful. And all their moods of separation have been completely satisfied. So these are the most intimate exchanges between Krishna and his pure devotees. To understand this, you have to become very deep in your Krishna consciousness. If you become deep, then you can understand these deeper moods and mellows and the relationship between Krishna and the gopis.
What mood did he separate when Parvati
refused? What was it?
Dainya.
D-H-A-I-N-Y-A. Dainya. So then...
So was it 10,000 years or 100,000?
1,000. 1,000 years they danced with Krishna.
1,000.
Yeah. Time doesn't matter. 1,000, 10,000, doesn't matter.
Okay.
So then, Uddhava stayed for 3 months. Right? Or was it 2 months? 2 months or 3 months? He stayed with the Brijbasis and satisfied their desires by reminding them of Krishna. So they had intimate association. Then he had to go back to Mathura. So as he headed back to Mathura, they offered him prasad, special gifts, remnants, which had been used by Krishna himself. So then he went back to Mathura. Now it's interesting, none of the Brijbasis went back to Mathura. And Mathura is only 40 kilometers away. And why didn't they all just get on the chariot and go across to Mathura? Because the Brijbasis will never leave Vrindavan. Right? Even if Krishna goes, they will not go. Because Vrindavan is non-different from Krishna. It is non-different from Balaram. Even sometimes it says it's non-different from Radharani. So they will never leave Vrindavan. In one form, they always manifest in Vrindavan. They never leave. In other forms, they appear to leave, but they never leave Vrindavan. So it's an interesting point. It's a very deep point which you have to meditate on. But the Brijbasis would not leave Vrindavan. Their mood was, Krishna has to come here. We will not go anywhere else because he can't be as happy. They want his happiness. So why would they go to Mathura if they can't give him the happiness they can give him by serving him in Vrindavan? So that is their mood.
I was listening to a lecture some days ago and the speaker was saying that actually Vrindavan, like you said, Vrindavan belongs to the Brajavasis and Krishna is actually a visitor in Vrindavan. So it's Vrindavan
is known by the Brijbasis. I mean, that is why, they never leave, but Krishna has to come back there. Like, that is something the speaker was trying to tell that about. The exalted position of the Brijbasis in terms of their love for Krishna. Yeah, it's a nice way of looking at it. Honestly. I mean, on another level, he is a Brijbasi because he appeared from Yashoda. Like that. So he is a Brijbasi, but on another level, it's a nice way to look. So then Uddhava goes back to Mathura and he gives Krishna the report of the separation that the gopis and the Brijbasis are feeling from him. And then Krishna goes into a very deep level or very deep mood of separation. He becomes overwhelmed with separation from the Brijbasis. So you have to understand the whole time. When Krishna is not in Vrindavan, he is simply absorbed in Vrindavan and he's always feeling separation from the Brijbasis. The rest of the 10th canto is like that. That's why even technically we're outside of Vrindavan now in terms of Leela. Now Krishna's gone to Dwarka in terms of where we're studying. But he's always in Vrindavan in consciousness. This is the essence of the 10th canto of Bhagavad Gita. So, any points?
Why does Vishnu Maharaj feel Lord Dasharath, his love is not as good as Dasharath. Because the Lord Ramchandra left and Dasharath left his body. But he feels lower, saying that I am still living in this body. So I don't love him more. Also, Shri Ramchandra writes that when hope turns to hopelessness, then the rasa of the gopis changes from vatsalya or madhurya to dasya. So in that dasya, he is meditating, he is praying to Lord Krishna's feet. Nandamad.
Yeah.
Because now his mood is changing from vatsalya to dasya, in hopelessness.
Mm. Anything else?
Yes. I think two points that I got from that chapter were that the Vrajavasis would have left their bodies, but they didn't because they loved Krishna so much and they knew that would upset him. And also, I think the other note is when Uddhava goes into Vrindavan, Vrindavan looks sad and without
Krishna. That's 46. Yeah, that's the one just before 46. 47 is when he meets the gopis.
Sorry.
That's okay. Okay. Anything else? So chapter 48 is?
Krishna pleases his devotees.
Krishna pleases his devotees. So we hear the topic of how Krishna goes to please?
Kuja.
And?
Akrura.
Yeah. Because he promised that he would go back and see them. So he always fulfills the desires of his devotees. Sometimes people criticize Krishna. Why did he do this? Why did he do that? No, he's always thinking of his devotees. Srimati Radharani herself defends him in different pastimes, because sometimes he gets criticized. Why is he like this? Why is he like that? And she says, you don't understand him. And in one sense, he treated her the worst. Because he left her and went to Mathura and did not come back. But she always defends him. You don't understand him. He always fulfills the desires of his devotees. And until you understand that, you don't understand Krishna. Sometimes we question Krishna. And Krishna tests us to see whether we question him or not. Right? Because he wants to see, are we actually fully attached to him? I know for myself, sometimes when he tests me, I doubt him. So as long as we have this consciousness, then we cannot form a perfect relationship with him. Because Krishna never fails to fulfill the desires of his devotees. So, she approached Krishna in a mixed way. Her love was not pure. There was some calm there, some lust. But when she came in contact with him, all of that lust became purified. And we see, we have lust in our hearts, but by surrendering to Krishna, gradually that lust becomes purified. So that is the process. Bhakti is more powerful than calm. So the more we engage in bhakti, the more our calm becomes purified, becomes destroyed. So when Krishna goes to visit Kubja, who does he take with him?
Uddhava.
Why does he take Uddhava?
To protect
his reputation. Because he'll be criticized. If he goes into the house of this girl by himself, everyone will say, why is Krishna going? But when he takes Uddhava, they think, oh no, Uddhava is such a exalted personality, there cannot be anything improper. They must just be paying a visit. The fact is that Krishna conjugally united with Kubja. But in order to protect his reputation, he took Uddhava. Which means we should always protect our reputation. We can't imitate Krishna. We can't do what Krishna does. But we must always be conscious to maintain our reputation. Otherwise everyone loses faith in you. So your reputation has to be maintained by proper behavior. So then he goes to visit Akrura, and he gives Akrura some intimate service. What is the intimate service he gives to him? Yeah, go to Hastinapura and visit the Pandavas. So this is where the Bhagavatam and the Mahabharata begin to mix together. As we said last night, the Bhagavatam deals more with the Yadus, the Mahabharata deals more with the Kurus, their cousins. So he says, go and find out what's happening with the Pandavas, my cousins. So he gives Akrura some intimate service, because every devotee desires intimate service. You know, you want to serve the guru intimately. All of us want to do that. That's why sometimes all the devotees are fighting, all the disciples are fighting, because they want to serve the guru intimately. So that's the, everyone wants that service, but we should not offend others in the process of serving the guru. So then, chapter 49 is called? Oh, you had a point?
So how, and then how do we understand when we say that there are no difference between him and the toilet? Just doing another more elaborate service.
What's the point?
And make the comparison counting the spreading. We say that everybody wants to serve in an intimate way the guru and that. Like when we talk about devotional service in general, when just to get that
point across. Yeah, but then that's up to the guru and up to Krishna if they give you intimate service or not. If you clean the guru's bathroom, that is an intimate service. You should see it like that. Yeah, if you want more intimate association, that may or may not come. That's up to guru and Krishna. Any service you do, you should see it as intimate service. Mm-hmm. Okay, chapter 49 is? Akrura's mission in Hastinapura. So he goes to Hastinapura and he speaks to Dhritarashtra. And he gives advice to Dhritarashtra. But unfortunately, Dhritarashtra is not acting properly. Because the duty of the king is to uphold dharma. Dharma means proper conduct. Yeah. That is the duty of the leader. Any leader must maintain dharma, proper behavior. And when your material desires compromise your commitment to dharma, then it becomes our dharma. So we see that Dhritarashtra, he's compromising. He's letting his attachment to his sons get in front of proper activity. How should he be acting? He should be acting one way, but he's acting another way. Actually, he should give the kingdom to Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira is the king, not Dhritarashtra. But Dhritarashtra wants Duryodhana to become king. So therefore, it's all being compromised. So then they begin to act in an adharmic way. So, Krishna is about to begin fulfilling his mission. Why did he leave Vrindavan? One reason is, he has to establish dharma across the earth. And he has to destroy the miscreants, vinashaya, chadushkritam. So this is why. So now Krishna is going into Dwarka Lila. That's why he's left Vrindavan. That's one reason. Because he has to establish dharma on the earth and he has to destroy the irreligious personalities. So Akrura goes to speak to Kunti. Kunti Devi. We also hear her prayers in the 8th chapter of the 1st canto. But he speaks to her and he questions, he says, how are the Pandavas, how are your sons? Now, the mood that we get from Kunti and the Pandavas is that they see any troubles which come as a blessing from Krishna. So we also have to learn that. Any trouble which comes in our life, that's a blessing from Krishna. Why does Krishna send the troubles? Yeah, to make us detach from this material energy. Because we're attached. So the only way to make us detached is what? Suffering. You have to suffer. Do you enjoy suffering in this material world? No. It doesn't matter, you have to. We don't enjoy it, I don't enjoy it, but we have to do it. And when we become more advanced in Krishna consciousness, then we accept it. We say, well, this is for my good. Because it will make me detach from Krishna. Sorry, detach from the material world.
So, if the sufferings are sent by Krishna, why are the Pandavas angry with the Kauravas?
Why the what?
Why are they angry with the Kauravas for burning their house of yak and things like that?
Because it's not the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. But it's sent by Krishna, so they accept that and still there.
Yeah, but the duty of the Kshatriya is to maintain Dharma. That's not Dharma, so they have to. Right. I understand your point, but we don't think like that in life. Like, okay, someone walks in here now and starts, you know, beating one of the devotees. And I say, well, that's their suffering that's been sent by Krishna. Like that. No, I stop that person. That's because I'm maintaining Dharma. Okay, we philosophically we see it like that, but we don't act like that. So then, Akrura speaks very bluntly to Dhritarashtra, because the duty of the sattva is to cut. He has to, so he speaks very heavily. And Dhritarashtra actually says, I understand and I agree, but what can I do? Yeah. Yeah, he even says that he even understands that Krishna is the Supreme Person. He even says that. I understand he is supreme, but what can I do? I have to act in this way. So. Bring it up. Who was that? Okay. So at the end of the chapter, it's pointed out that we always have to be very careful to watch the demoniac personalities. Never stop watching the demons or the non-devotees. We all have to deal with non-devotees all the time. Don't take your eye off them. Don't become sentimental as devotees. Sometimes as devotees we become sentimental. But in Prabhupada himself would never let the non-devotees take advantage of him. So we should also never let them take advantage. So, chapter 50 is called? Krishna establishes the city of Dwarka. So this is where Dwarka is created. Because who begins to attack? Jarasandha. So we see in this particular chapter, Jarasandha begins to attack Mathura. How many times does he attack?
17 times.
Yeah, 17. And then the 18th time, then Krishna. Yeah, leaves like that. So, this gives impetus for Dwarka to be created. Because Krishna wants to protect the Yadu dynasty. He doesn't want them to have to go through difficulty. And also he's concerned about the bridge buses because they're nearby. So he doesn't want them to be disturbed. So he takes everything across to Dwarka, right on the other side. And then he establishes the city within the ocean to protect. So when Jarasandha attacks, two effulgent chariots appear. Krishna and Balaram mount the chariot, and with a small army, they drive outside the gates and they attack Jarasandha's army, which is surrounding the entire city, which is made up of 23 Akshahuni divisions. A massive army, we're talking about millions of soldiers. And Krishna just goes out with a few and defeats everyone, kills everyone except for one person. Jarasandha. And then he gets Balaram. Balaram grabs him, ties him up. And then Krishna says, release him. Take. He can go back. The good thing we learn about Jarasandha is that we should never become disappointed. We should never give up in our devotional service. The bad thing that we should not imitate is that you should not fight with Krishna or Krishna's devotees. That is inauspicious.
How come Krishna did not disfigure Jarasandha like the way he did Rukmini?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Krishna is Swarat, he's independent, so we don't know why he does. But interesting, after he defeats Jarasandha, he sends out his servants and they collect all of the valuable items and he brings it back into Mathura and he offers it to Ugrasen. That's Krishna's mentality, and we'll see this actually. It's important because it takes place in the next few chapters in the pastime of the Shamantaka jewel. We see that Krishna always, even though he is the supreme personality of Godhead, in the context of his Nara Leela in the Mathura world, within Mathura, he offers everything to his grandfather, Ugrasen. That's Krishna's mentality. So we should also be like that. So, chapter 51 is? You okay, Brenda? You sound like you're leaving your body. You need something? Or?
Yeah.
You sure? What is 51? What is it? Deliverance of Muchukunda. So, the opposition will always exist. As long as we're in the material world, we have to face opposition. So all of us go through difficulty in the material world. That you cannot stop. Even when you want it to stop, it will come back again anyway. That's the nature of the material world. So, Krishna was attacked simultaneously by Jarasandha and Kaliyavana. So he thought, okay, that's enough. So then he went off to the mountains. And Kaliyavana followed him. So as Kaliyavana followed him, he entered the cave, went inside. Kaliyavana kicked Muchukunda. Muchukunda woke up and burnt Kaliyavana to ashes. Kaliyavana was extremely powerful. So it was a great benediction for the earth, for him to be destroyed.
Did you say he was attacked simultaneously?
Yeah, they came.
All the forces came together.
Yeah, Jarasandha came from one side, Kaliyavana came from the other side. So even though Kaliyavana was so close to Krishna, he chased him, he could almost touch him, but he didn't understand who he was. So the Bhagavatam is teaching us that unless we perform Uttama Bhakti, or devotional service, pure devotional service, we cannot understand Krishna. Even you can go and dress Radha Vallabha every day, or Gaur-Nitai or Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. You can massage their feet, you can serve them, but you will never understand them unless you have the right consciousness. It's an important point to understand. Also with the guru, you can be with the guru all the time, but if you don't have the right consciousness, you won't understand the spiritual master. And you won't be close to the spiritual master. It's only when you have the right consciousness that you become close. So then, Muchakunda begins to offer prayers to Krishna. So he offers many prayers. At the end, he is blessed by Krishna and he attains perfection. He becomes a liberated personality. And actually, he wants to stay with Krishna and associate with Krishna. But Krishna will not allow him to associate with him. Why?
Because he's from a different age.
Because he's from a different age? And?
He's very powerful.
Hmm?
He's so powerful, he could have killed all the Indians. And that would have interfered with Krishna's leader.
Yeah, that's partially why. Yeah. Also because he's 18 foot tall. And Krishna is 7 foot tall. So it would be difficult for Krishna to perform his pastimes with someone who's 18 foot tall walking behind him. Hmm? Because everyone would always be looking like, who's this guy? So it'd be hard for Krishna to perform his lila. It's quite distracting. So Krishna said, go to Badrik Ashram, go to the Himalayas, meditate on me and you'll attain perfection. So he asked him to move on, politely. Because it wasn't compatible with these pastimes. So then chapter 52.
Rukmini's message to Lord Krishna.
Rukmini's message to Lord Krishna. So Muchakunda walked out of the cave and he saw that everything had become small. That's the nature of Kali Yuga. Everyone becomes small. That's the nature of this age. So Jarasandha, he chases Krishna, right, into the mountain. Krishna goes up the mountain with Balaram. He thinks, okay, now I've got them. So he sets fire to the mountain. The whole mountain burns. Krishna and Balaram jump off over the fire and they escape. And Jarasandha thinks they're dead. So it must be very surprising when Krishna comes to kidnap Rukmini. And Jarasandha sees, no, actually, he's still there.
I was just checking up on the mountain which Krishna and Balaram jumped from when I was reading the Bhagavatam. When you convert 11 yojanas, it's actually 145 kilometers tall, that mountain which they jumped from. And Mount Everest is 8 kilometers tall, so.
So it means everything has got smaller. Yeah, because of Kali Yuga. Yeah. Even the mountains are not so big anymore. Okay. So then, what is it?
Can you imagine how much fun they would have had jumping off that mountain together?
Yeah, it would have been very blissful. So then, Rukmini, she sends a letter to Krishna through the Brahmana. And the Brahmana walks straight to Dwarka. And walks straight into Krishna's chambers. Because when one is pure, he gets access to any place. When one is trustworthy, it gains you access. So therefore, because he is pure, the Brahmana, he can just walk straight in. And he gives the letter to Krishna. And Krishna says, you please read the letter. And then chapter 53 is?
Krishna kidnaps Rukmini.
Krishna kidnaps Rukmini. So Krishna conceals, the Brahmana reads the letter. Krishna conceals his emotions. And he's actually smiling, but actually he's very attached to Rukmini. And he wants to go and deliver her. So with the speed of the mind, he rides from Dwarka to Vidarbha, the capital. So it's thousands of kilometers. He only has 12 hours or so to get there. So imagine on a horse and a chariot, you cover 12 hours. Like going from like here to Brisbane in 12 hours on a horse. So Krishna flies at the speed of the mind. So it's a very important point because Rukmini is supposed to marry Shishupal. And then she rejects her family's desires. So the Bhagavad Gita is teaching us, you are allowed to reject your family's desires and the obligation you have for the service of Krishna. But it has to be done very maturely. But we are allowed to do it. That is the message of the Bhagavad Gita. So Bhishmaka, he receives all the guests very nicely. Shishupal is performing all sorts of Karmakanda ceremonies in order to please the brahmanas and the demigods to have a nice marriage. And then Rukmini is in complete anxiety because she is thinking, is Krishna going to come or not? So she's in complete anxiety. And Prabhupada says, we have to go to the place where they're selling Krishna anxiety and buy as much as you can. Hands up if you're in anxiety for Krishna. For Krishna? Okay.
All of us, because of exams.
Good. Good. So we have to give your anxiety. But no one put up their hand. Only one person put up their hand. Anxiety for Krishna means we have to do more then. If we're not in anxiety for Krishna, it means we're not doing enough for Krishna. So, she began to meditate upon Krishna, and then the brahmana came, and as soon as she saw the brahmana, she understood just by seeing his face that Krishna had arrived. He was outside the city. And she became completely satisfied, completely blissful. So in her bliss, she walked towards the temple of Durga. And actually her father was desiring her to marry Krishna. So she was... He was very happy that Krishna had come because he understood what was going to happen. So then chapter 54 is the marriage of Krishna and Rukmini. So Rukmini comes out of the temple. Krishna pulls up the chariot, grabs her by the hand, puts her on the chariot and slowly rides out. Right? And everyone else becomes very upset. Same thing happened when Draupadi was doing her Swayambhara. Arjuna just took her out and everyone became very upset. So a big battle took place. Right? And then who came to defend Krishna? Balaram. And? Krishna's army. Krishna's army came. I think he mentions in other places. I think Satyaki was there. They came and they defeated all of the opposing warriors, Jarasandha, Shishupal, Shalva, very, very powerful warriors. They defeated them. Who is that? So they defeated those warriors, extremely powerful, and then Krishna escaped. But then Rukmi, he decided to attack. Because he had taken a vow. So he attacked and then Krishna humiliated him. Cut off his hairs and then sent him away. Balaram actually defended him. Otherwise it could have been worse. He sent him away. And then Krishna went back to Dwarka and he married Rukmini. Bhishmaka said to Krishna, It's not mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, but it's very important for the pastimes, which come up in the next few chapters. Bhishmaka said to Krishna, you can marry Rukmini, but the only condition is you cannot marry anyone else unless she gives permission. It's very important for the next several chapters. It's not, that's not mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. That's very important. And then chapter 55 is?
The history of
Pradyumna. First son of Krishna was stolen from Rukmini after 6 days by the demon whose name was?
Shambhara.
Shambhara. Then we know, because we just studied that chapter, that Shambhara was defeated by Pradyumna himself. Pradyumna was reunited with Rukmini, Krishna. He went back to Dwarka. Actually, he is Chaturvyuha. It's mentioned that he is Cupid, but Cupid, as I explained to you in the classes, Cupid is just a partial expansion. That demigod merged back into Pradyumna, and then Rati, the wife of Cupid, when she contacted Pradyumna himself, she also became completely purified and became the goddess of fortune. And then they stayed and they lived with Krishna and Rukmini in Dwarka. Shri Krishna Chandra Bhagavan ki.